Well, good morning, God morning, great morning, and welcome to Declare Victory. I'm your announcer, Timothy Alexander White, and we're so glad you could join us. Today, you will hear our daily declaration from one of Declare Victory's very own God chasers, empowering, encouraging, imparting, and inspiring you to live your best life now. So grab a notebook and pen. It's sure to bless you. Please don't forget to submit your prayer request and praise reports on our app or website. We have scheduled calls 5 nights a week, Bible study, men's group, marriage matters, singles, divorce, and more. Check the app to find the call that's best for you. Don't forget to share the call information with a friend or loved one. It's sure to impact their life. We're not a church, just a bunch of radical believers that know that miracles happen when we pray. We hope you feel at home. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the call. You're now in the hands of your host for today.
Good morning, everyone. I am your hostess, Resilient Rosanna. Welcome to Declare Victory. By chance, do we have any first-time callers? If so, would you like to say your name so we can greet you? Okay, then the events are as follows. Declare Victory has an app where you can submit your prayer requests. We encourage you all to download the app and submit your requests there. This will help decrease the traffic we're experiencing with the amount of prayer requests we're receiving during greeting time. Information on the app can be found in the Victory Room in Facebook, or you can ask a friend. Today is Tele Tuesday. Share Christ with someone. Tell him how good God is. Remember, we are his hands and we're his feet, and we want him to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Also, tonight is TNT Bible study from 6 to 7 Pacific time. Study the Word with Pastor LaVale Jones. You will surely be blessed. And then the prayer request online, I'll say mine, it's not online, is that I'm asking for prayer. I have finals coming up on Thursday in calculus and economics. And also for the continued prayer in my family going through this crisis. Also, we have a prayer request from Carl Walls. He's looking for, I don't know who it's for, but looking for a landlord will take the Section 8. I'm in the process of looking for a house for my family. I just got my Section 8. It's been hard to find a landlord that's willing to rent to someone that got Section 8. I'm looking for a 3-bedroom, 2-bedroom, 2-bathroom. Please pray for me. So it was for Carl himself. And then the other one is from Rhoda. I think I'm a day late on the prayer request, but she's praying for herself. Praise report. My new financial service business is growing, and last Friday at the company gala, she was honored with the Rising Star Award. Please continue to keep her and her business lifted up in prayer. She can see some amazing things on the horizon. The order of a call is, scripture is going to be by Tanya Porter, Declaration Dion, prayer. First is Diane, followed by Imani, Beverly, and the closing is Miss D. Once more, scripture is by Tanya Porter, declaration by Dion. Prayer, Diane, Imani, Beverly, and Miss D. If you have not done so, would you please take the time to put your calls on mute by pressing *6 or the standard mute button on your phone. It will be appreciated by all, especially the individuals who are giving the declaration or scripture. At this time, I will pass the call. Take care. Thank you.
Good morning. Today's word is being brought to you by the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 9 through 10. And I am reading from the NIV version. It says, "But the God said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me.' That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardship, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. May God add a blessing to our already blessed word as I pass the call.
Well, good morning, God morning, great morning to each and every one of you. Happy Tuesday. Thank God for you, Miss Susie, for our gracious greeting as always, and Resilient Rosanna, you always do an amazing job. Thank you for that. And I am super excited. I believe that the Lord has given me a relevant word for today. I pray that it blesses you. I know that I will not be able to finish it all today, but I'm pretty sure that during the course of the next few weeks, I'll be able to share and expound, and prayerfully, you will be blessed, and it will assist in stretching you and moving you forward into purpose. Amen. You guys remember me saying on last Tuesday that we are about to start our Eyewitness series. That's going to be a culmination of your legwork as well as my legwork. I did share a banner for today's call, and prayerfully we'll have a person or two join us, and they can begin the journey as we begin to prepare to stretch our hearts and stretch our minds, stretch our thought processes. So if at all you are twiddling around on Facebook, which about 50% of us do, I love it if you share the banner, and hopefully it'll bless someone else. So today's topic is the power of pursuing positive perception. Again, the power of pursuing positive perception. There is a concordance reference. It is number 8319. And for those of you that have study tools and study keys, you'll be able to kind of get into it and delve into it just a little bit more. Again, as we just embark upon this journey of transition. So the primary scripture that I'm going to use today is going to be Proverbs 23:7. For those of you that, again, are studiers or seeking to study and seeking to move closer to God in relationship, and it reads, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Just as the Lord gave me what to share, I've really been very actively working on, number one, changing some of my own personal behaviors, identifying some of my personal triggers, some of the things. Ravonda loves to say it like this, every great person comes with their own nemesis, and we all have them all. There are so many instances and references in the Word of God that deal with perception in and of itself, from God perceiving or from just a layman perceiving. And the reality is our perception is directly related and reflective of our heart. I'm going to say that again. Our perception, anything, all things, are directly related and reflective of the matters, the posture, and the experience of our hearts. Proverbs 4:25 says, "Above all else, guard your heart with all of your diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Get this, though. Romans 12:2 says, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." And the reality is, when you are honest with yourself, you understand that the heart and the mind can do one of two things. They can operate as a joint entity, or they can operate on two totally different planes. What I found, even in reading the Word of God, and I'll go over a couple of scriptures. Like I said, I'm not going to have the ability to compile all of this because it's a lot of information in one 20-minute declaration, but I promise it will hurt. But if you trust the process, it will heal. Most people perceive things based upon their past experience. Most people perceive things based upon their past experience. The definition itself of perception, and before I even go into that, the etymology is of Latin origin. It comes from the word precept. But the definition is the act of factually apprehending by means of sense or by the faculties of the mind, cognition or understanding, immediate or intuitive recognition, appreciation as of moral, psychological, or aesthetic qualities. Aesthetic means external, insight, intuition, and or discernment. Awareness from a sensory process, awareness from sensory perception. I had the great pleasure of attending a class this past weekend, and by the grace of God, I am surrounded with people who are intellectuals, who are studiers, who are not only theologians, but historians, and in Bible times, there was no neuroscience. There may have been hints of it or inklings of it, but it had not been delved into in such great magnitudes that we can glean and learn from how the brain itself actually operates and what stems from it and what causes a lack of understanding and what triggers certain things in us. But one thing we can rest assured of is that the word itself says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, he who is a new creature, he who is in Christ, is a new creature. Well, Dion, I accepted Christ. I made a decision that I wanted Christ to lord my life. But all of these things that I've been for all of these years, how do I become a new creature in Christ? How do I change what has been? Because everything I experienced genuinely happened. Everything that I've been in the past is a direct result of my experience. Well, I'm glad you asked. The first thing you have to do is admit that the position of your heart is a result of your past experience, and then you have to begin to identify those things that create a negative thought process of where you are, where you're headed, and where you're going. Where you're at, where you're going, and what got you. And so as I just began to research some of the primary sources of perception, Mark 4 came to mind, and it's Mark 4, 13 through 20. And it is talking about the parable of the seed, the sower, and what happened. And I'm going to read that passage. Don't you understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? The farmer scatters the word. This is the meaning of the seed that fell on the path. So there are four types. When the word is scattered, the people hear it right away. Satan comes to steal that word that was planted in them. Here is the meaning of the seed that fell on rocky ground. When people hear the word, they are immediately and receive it. Because they have no roots, they last only for a little while. experience distress or abuse because of the word, they immediately fall away. Others are like the seeds scattered among the thorns or the thistles. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries and cares of life, the false appeal of wealth, and the desires of more things break in and choke the word, and it bears no fruit. The seeds scattered on good soil, however, are those who hear the word, embrace the word, and move and operate in it. They bear fruit, in one case, a yield of 30, another case, 60, and another case, 100 to 1. So get this, contingent upon the posture of your heart, the matter of your perception is the determining factor of how far you go in life. Contingent upon the condition of your heart is the determining factor of how far you go. And it's not my opinion, it's in the word. It says some yield 30 to 1, another 60 to 1, and others 100 to 1. So contingent upon your perception, your desire to chase after perception, because everything is a work. Everything takes action in order to yield a definitive result. The majority of the time, people perceive whatever it is that they perceive based on some type of fear. It's out of fear or reverence that a perception is established. So that's not my opinion. That is my experience. So John 2:24-25 says, but Jesus didn't trust himself to them because he knew all people. He didn't need anyone to tell him about human nature, for he knew what human nature was. And so it says he didn't trust himself. Like, I'm not going over here. Get this. Nehemiah 6:2. Now when Zerubbabel, Tobiah, Geshem, and Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there was no gap left in it, Sandebolt and Geshem sent me this message. Come, let's meet together in one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they wanted to harm me. That was natural intuition. That was based upon an experience. He knew that they were active enemies, and he knew that it wasn't safe for him to show up. Then get this. Okay, so I'm just going to say this. I am an active, avid people watcher. I spend much of my day, and it's not something that I intended to do, but what it has done for me is help me pursue positive perception. Some of the experiences that I had in life would have lended to me angry and bitter. And once upon a time, that was my case. But I knew that there was much for me to do. And so I sought after a positive perception. I am a person today that is an eternal optimist. That didn't come by chance. That came through work. That was not accidental. That was a deliberate pursuit. I should have been the one who made decisions to be mean for no reason. I experienced a large level of displacement and neglect and levels of abuse and molestation and so on and so forth. But my heart did not root in my experience, rather in my perception that all these things transpired for me to become greater. And so what it did, it leveled my thought process in such a way. And one of the things you'll find as you pursue positive perception is that your company is a direct reflection of the place you desire to go. Your company is a direct reflection of the place you desire to go. When you want to be better, you spend time with people who are better, stronger, wiser. I say this all the time. If you are the strongest in your group, it means that you feel as if you plateaued or you don't have a desire to move forward. Now, to somebody that may be offensive. And so perception is can result in judgment. Negative perception can result in judgment. It is a direct reflection of whatever your consciousness tells you. It can and will determine your attitude. Your perception can and will determine your attitude. Your perception can and will alter your feelings. Your perception can and will alter your feelings. Your perception can motivate your approach. Your perception can motivate your approach. It can uncover your level of lack of knowledge and understanding or demonstrate the presence of an in-depth knowledge. So it has two different spectrums of the scale. Your perception is absolutely a direct result of your experiences. So, Dion, okay, you said all of that. Now, how do I negate being negative in thought? How do I change the standard neural pathway that's been created? Because we all have them. My pastor taught on this in depth, and it was revisited this past Sunday. And so it just really made me think. You know how sometimes you meet somebody and every single thing they say is negative? They can't see good in anything. If somebody says something, it's directed to them. If somebody shares something, it's meant to hurt their feelings or offend, because in their mind, whatever their experience was, it all became personal. And so what I literally do, and this is physical, I've said this on multiple occasions, if you've been on the line any amount of time, I do things to redirect my thought process, and I'll give you an example. So everybody knows my son left yesterday to go to the military. Well, the plan was that I go with him this morning to be sworn in, which is about a 20-minute process. I just experienced a severe loss with my grandmother. And some people probably think I'm a little special because I never got off the saddle. I kept moving forward. And it doesn't mean that I did not take the time to grieve or to process. It means that I know my thought process, and I know where it can take me if I'm not cautious, if I'm not attentive to the fact that there are many things that need to be done. Doesn't mean that I'm insensitive. It just means I know what my thought process is. So as opposed to going to San Jose, I wanted to feel like my son just went on a bus ride, as opposed to watching him be taken from me, and not that it's a negative thing, but I knew I needed to do that to process, and I went on with my daily activity because as opposed to positioning myself for my perception to be negative, oh, Lord, my baby, I could have went into a downward hook. And we all have the things that trigger us. And for a young lady who experienced a lot of abandonment in life, right, if I harped on the negative aspect of it, that he's leaving, he's going to be gone for XYZ time, he will be back, but for the much of it, my son is gone. You know, it's time for him to start to live his life. And so I do things like write down what my thought process is, and then I say this out loud to myself. You are responsible for your emotions. Your emotions do not dictate your behaviors. I say things like that to myself. If you spent much of your time reading white supremacist books or black power books, one way or the other, before it's all said and done, your perception would be racist because we are a culmination of our experiences. And so now the suggestion is this. Find things that are pro your purpose. Find things that are pro your purpose. Find things that pour into you and recreate your experiences and begin to establish new experiences as a result of your pursuit of positive perception. As a woman, women approach one another very differently than men do. But if women would be honest with themselves, the first thing they do when they see a woman is make a determination about if she's friendly or not. If she has a bad attitude, if she's high-minded, if she thinks more highly of herself, or if she's raunchy, we make those determinations. And so in my mind, as opposed to doing that and being judgmental of them, I look for things that are absolutely beautiful about who they are and make an active, avid effort to compliment. I love to tell women they look beautiful. It comes a lot from the creative side of me and being a cosmetologist. I watched women be empowered simply by getting their hair done. And so as I begin to close, because the next declaration will go into the functionalities of the mind and some of the things that actually literally can hinder us from a neurological perspective that drive our perception. And hopefully it'll help you uncover some things in you that maybe you'd not identified and nurture the things that will help you grow. So if you're feeling sad on today or heavy or depressed or frustrated or anxious, find things, pursue things that transition your thought process to the positive. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you find yourself in a slump today, pursue things that make your heart happy, that you would do for free all day long if you had the opportunity. The pursuit of positive not only positive perception, but positive persuasion. If you find yourself in a rut in relationships, find things that are specific to what you know you deserve and desire. And if you've not figured out what you deserve and desire, read the Word of God. It'll tell you who you are, and then that will be the anticipation. I pray that this declaration has blessed you. God bless you as I pass the call.
Thank you for that beautiful declaration. Oh, God, I bless your name today, for you are a wonderful God. You are God Almighty. You are I Am, the eternal God. I thank you, dear Lord, that you are not like man. God, I thank you for the visionary, Dion, whom you've given the vision to. God, bless her and bless her indeed. Keep her son safe, Lord God. Bless her other children, Lord God. Bless her mother, Jackie. God, just bless her, Lord. Let her lack for nothing, oh God. And I thank you for her obedience, answering to the call that you have placed on her life. God, bless her and bless her indeed. Father God, I just lift up Susie for greeting, Rosanna for hosting, and Tanya for that scripture in 2 Corinthians. Oh God, I bless your name. Can somebody mute their phone? God, I thank you today for just being able to breathe. I thank you for keeping us through the night as we slumber and slept, as we rested. God, but help us today to rest in you, to lean on you, to cast our cares on you. God, let us learn who we are for those that don't know you, oh God. I pray that they learn. Take us and sit at your feet and learn from you, oh God. In the name of Jesus, Father God, I come lifting up prayer requests today, Lord God, for Sister Julia, who's asking for prayer for Pastor Hope, who lost his cousin. Father God, you said those who mourn shall be comforted. God, comfort the family, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Comfort Pastor Hope, oh God. I bless your name, oh God. And God, I just lift up JC's grandson, Gino. So, Father God, you know what's going on and him and school. God, just keep him safe, oh God. Father God, let him learn who you are, that he may walk in you, oh God, and learn the behaviors that you desire for him. And Father God, we're lifting up Sister Gloria and Mother Poindexter family as Mother Poindexter went home to be with the Lord, oh God. God, I just thank you for her time on earth, and I thank you for Sister Gloria for being so concerned, oh God, her heartfelt concern for her. Father God, in the name of Jesus, just bless Sister Gloria, oh God. And Father God, when we lose a loved one, God, help us to see the good side of it, oh God, that they're not suffering anymore. And Father God, I lift up Rosanna, who's having finals this week. And Father God, I lift up Monica, who's having a test today. God, bring back to her remembrance, Holy Spirit, that which she has studied, all her notes. Father God, let her see a view of it as she's taking the test, oh God. And Father God, I thank you in advance for their outcome of the test. I thank you for your favor. I thank you for keeping them in your grace and your mercy, oh God. I bless your name today. For God, you said that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, Father God, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Father God, during this time of uncertainty, keep us in your grace and mercy today. Keep our minds stayed on you, Father God, that we don't lose sight of you and the calling you have on our lives. Father God, and I just come lifting up my coworkers today. For Father God, we got a notice yesterday, Father, that none of us might not have a job unless we want to move and relocate. And Father God, I just thank you for what you're doing in my life. I will not be moved by what the enemy does. But Father God, for those two co-workers that don't know you, I lift them up to you, oh God. But Father God, they feel like it's the end of their world. But Father God, you are in control of everything. And I just pray over them, Lord God. I pray for their salvation, that they come to know you in the pardon of their sin, that they repent of their sins, that they may receive your salvation plan. But God, I thank you. I love you. I trust you. And I bless your name today for all that you're doing in my life and the life on this call, for each and every one on this call. Bless them, Lord God, and let their day be filled with joy, with Jesus' joy, because you are in control of everything. In Jesus' name, as I pass the call.
Dear Heavenly Father, as I come before you, I just thank you for allowing me to bask in your glory. Thank you, Jesus. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, or discipline me in your wrath. Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am faint. O Lord, hear me, for my bones are in agony, my soul in anguish. How long, O Lord, how long? Turn, O Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of my unfailing love. No one remembers you when he is dead. Who praises from the grave? I am worn out from groaning. All night long I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. My eyes grow weak in sorrow. They fail because of all my foes. Away from me, all you who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies will be ashamed and dismayed. They will turn back in sudden disgrace. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you once again for allowing each and every one of us to wake up this morning with able bodies and right mind, Father. Father, I ask you to continue to bless each and every family on this line. Continue to edify us and lift us up, Heavenly Father. Continue to bless all of our blended families, our church families, our extended families, Heavenly Father, our school families, and our work families, Heavenly Father. God, I ask you to continue to put your angels around each and every one of our children as they come and they go, Father. Bless them, Heavenly Father, wherever their foot treads, Father. Continue to lift them up and allow them to do well, Father, and see the light in everything that they do, and that you would be edified, Father. Father, I ask you to continue to lift up our marriages, Father. Continue to allow us to go closer to one another and be patient with one another, Heavenly Father. Father, continue to allow us to trust one another and lift one another up in high esteem, Father. Dear Heavenly Father, I just ask you to continue to allow us to be intimate and loving towards one another. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you to bless our neighbors, Heavenly Father. As we come into the holiday season, that one could put past grudges with a neighbor, Father, and continue to lift them up and pray for them and love them, Heavenly Father. Father, I ask you to continue to bless our enemies, the enemies that could care less about us and the enemies that we can care less about, but allow us to continue to lift them up and pray for them, Father. Get rid of any anger and any hate and animosity, Father. Father, I ask you to continue to lift up our coworkers, all of our coworkers, the ones who know you and the ones who don't, Father. Oh, Heavenly Father, how much we love you so much, Father. We love you that we can allow our hearts to be forgiving, Heavenly Father. For someone who is having a trouble with forgiveness, Father, I just ask you to let them let bygones be bygones and lift you up and just continue to put you first in everything that they do. Dear Heavenly Father, I just ask you to continue to bless our coworkers, Father, all of them, Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for allowing us to come and go, Father. God bless those who have gotten those pink slips to let you know that a job is not the beginning or the end, that you have something in line for them. Another door will open, Heavenly Father, and you will let no need go unmet, Heavenly Father. Don't let any, just let them not worry, Father. There's no need to worry because you tell us that when we worry, we call you a liar, Heavenly Father. And we don't want to do that, Father. We have to put all of our trust in you. Even when it looks bleak in the hour, in the midnight hour, Father, you always have a way of coming through. Let none of those families' needs come unmet, Heavenly Father. Dear Heavenly Father, how much we love and appreciate you so. I ask you to lift up Cedric and Solomon, Kwame, Father. Lift up my mother who is... Thank you, Jesus. Just lift her up, Heavenly Father. Continue to put your angels and compass around her. As they have did a test to say that she possibly will have cancer, just ask you to lift her spirits up and let her know that she is loved, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Put the blood of Jesus around her, Heavenly Father, the blood of Jesus that no devil can touch. In Jesus' name, as I pass the call, amen.
Good morning, Heavenly Father. We just thank you. We thank you for today. We thank you for waking us up this morning. We thank you for the favor in our lives today. Thank you for the anointing on our lives, and I pray that your will be done in our lives today, Father God. I thank you for your wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and your revelation. I thank you for making us just not hearers of your word, but doers of your word. Thank you for traveling mercies for those who are on their way to work and traveling this holiday season. Touch them in a mighty way and keep them safe from all hurt, harm, and danger. Thank you for your faith. Thank you for the faith that we have and the spirit that grows in us every day. We thank you, God. Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand. Forgive us for all sins. Let us draw near to you and with a heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let your word dwell in us richly. Fill us with the knowledge of your will. I'm praying for the church right now in the name of Jesus, that we all stand together, that we all come together unitedly. No separation in denomination. Keep us together, Father God, because you are God, our only God, and that we need to recognize that there is only one God. Let us become serious and watchful in our prayers, redeeming the time for the days now are evil, running with endurance the race that is set before us, setting our minds on things above and not on the things on the earth, but pressing towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of you, God, putting on the whole armor of God that we may stand against the devil, that we will speak forth your word with great boldness, and that you will stretch forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done in your name, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Father God, I just come asking for you to bless our pastors, bless them in a mighty way. I pray that they will continue to be faithful to you and to your church. Help them to always seek your direction. Ask them to, so that they may recognize that they need to ask you to order their steps. I pray that they are all faithful in all that they do, faithful to commitments, faithful to his wife and family, faithful to his staff, and most of all, I pray that he is always faithful to you, or she is always faithful to you, and what you would have them do to accomplish your plan for this life. Lord, help them to be faithful to proclaim your name in all the earth. I praise you for this time that I have to offer up my prayer. Dear Lord, I'm praying that you give them the time that they need and to be in your word. I pray that you help us remember why people work in the church. I pray that the preachers understand who the people are, that they are coming to work for the church and nothing more. I pray that they come for you, and we bless your name right now in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, I give thanks for our government, our city council, our mayor, state legislators, and all people who are holding public office. I pray for all the men and women pouring out your spirit and make your word known to them. Cause them to be men and women of honor, obedient concerning us, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Let wisdom enter their hearts and let knowledge be pleasant to them. Let discretion preserve them and understanding keep them, to deliver them from the way of evil and from evil men. Make their hearts and ears attentive to godly counsel, doing what is right in your sight. Cause there to be a shaking in all areas. Let those complete and blameless before you stay and cut off the wicked. Let the unfaithful be rooted out. I thank you, God. Raise up a standard in this nation. Cause the rains of your spirit to flood this land and revive your work in the midst of us. Raise up intercessors for this nation. More like declare victory. To pull down strongholds over this land and let the glory of the Lord be revealed. In the name of Jesus, I ask, Lord, that you be with our troops in all times, on all roads, on the water, on the land, on the mountains, in the valley, wherever they stand, run, ride, or drive, wherever they sleep or be awake, be with them. Heal them from the daily commission of war, of sin, worldly injuries and injustice, from fear, torture, and great suffering. Take care of them, Lord. All those who are being entered into and volunteering for the service to protect us, protect our land, protect America. May the glory of God strengthen them and the wisdom of you, Lord, enlighten them, and the grace of God empower them from this very hour to all of eternity. I thank you in the name of Jesus for all that you are about to do. The victory is to be won. In the name of Jesus, as I pass the call.
Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, our Sovereign Lord, we glorify your holy name throughout the earth. Your majesty is praised as high as the heavens. For the mouth of babes and infants at thy breast, you have established our goings and our comings, Lord God, and you have set a wall against our adversaries to restrain the enemy, the avenger. When we look up at our heavens and we see the works of your fingers, the moon, the stars, Lord God, the suns, we think, Lord God, what is it that you are so mindful of us, the humans, Lord God, that you've created just a little under the angels. Father God, we thank you this morning, Father God, as we confess, Father, that we daily fall short of your will for our lives, Lord God. So we ask you, Lord God, to forgive us of our sins, Father God, forgive us of our shortcomings, Father God, to prop us up on all sides, Lord God, that we may run the race that has been laid before us. Thank you, Lord God, for looking to the hills from which cometh our help and strength this morning. Thank you, Lord God, for being able to acknowledge that we are weak, Lord God, and without you, Lord God, nothing can be done through us. Father God, we thank you for the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Lord God, we thank you for anointing us to live out your will. Father God, we thank you, Father God, that any struggles, Lord God, or doubts, fears, frustrations that we have, Father God, we can bring before you. As we have laid our prayers before the throne of grace this morning, Father God, we thank you, Lord God, that you are responding to our words. Lord God, we thank you that our prayers and our cries out to you have been a sweet fragrance this morning. Father God, we continue to bask in your glory. Father God, we thank you for being a hedge of protection around us. Thank you for keeping us for this day, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that you took on human form to walk this earth, Lord God, to be a joy for us, Lord God, to be the truth of the Redeemer, the salvation of our lives, Lord God. Thank you so much, Father God, that you have come before us again, Lord God, as we be able to celebrate the Christmas Advent season, Lord God, that is before us. Let us be mindful, Lord God, that society has one way to see you, but we who follow you see you, Lord God, for all the glory that you are. Lord God, we thank you that we know that love isn't wrapped up in packages, Lord God, under a tree, but love hung on a rugged cross, Lord God, that we may have a right to the tree of life. And we thank you, Lord God, that you have fed us day in and day out, Lord God, that you have been our provider, Lord God, that you have kept us, Lord God, when we could not keep ourselves. Lord God, we commend our children into your hands this morning, Lord God, our grief, our heartaches, Lord God, the quest, Lord God, to move forward, Lord God, our desires to be strong and to walk the walk that you call us to. We commend our lives into your hands, Lord. We surrender our hearts to you, Father God, and ask you, Lord God, to take place, Lord God, at that seated place on our hearts this morning, Lord God, that we may be able to reverence you as we go forth throughout this day. Lord God, we are ever so grateful. Lord God, thank you for being the lily of the valley. Lord God, thank you for being the bright morning star this morning, Jesus. We glorify and magnify your holy name, Father God, for without you, we're nothing, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that we surrender, Lord God, everything that we have, Lord God, we offer it up to you. Lord God, thank you, Jesus. We give our bodies as a reasonable service to you, Father God, and we just say thank you this morning, Jesus. Lord God, my heart is full of praise. Lord God, I thank you, because if we just look back in the last 24 hours, the things that have transpired that you brought us through, Father God, thank you for renewing our mind. Thank you for strengthening our heart. Thank you for keeping our hands on that gospel plow this morning, Lord God, and we put on the whole armor of God, covering our head with the helmet of salvation, and Lord God, protecting our breasts with the breastplate of righteousness, Lord God. And as we heard in the declaration, the mind and heart can go two separate ways, Lord God, but if they're stayed on you, Lord God, we will not be emotionally overrun, Lord God, and act in behaviors that are contrary to your will. So, Lord God, we cinch these on tightly this morning, Lord God. Thank you, Father God, that we walk in peace, and peace will abound wherever we go. Lord God, thank you that we hold the truth around us, Lord God. Your word is truth for us this morning, Jesus. Thank you for the shield of faith this morning, Lord, that continues to have us to call your name no matter how high the winds get or the storms blow, Lord God, or the sun beats down on us, Lord God. We thank you that our faith is ever increasing. Thank you for the sword of the Spirit, which is the word, Lord God, that also circumcises our hearts, Lord God, as well as cut the things that are in this world, Lord God, that come up against us. We will be ever so careful, Lord God, to honor you in everything we do. Lord God, help us to search our hearts, Lord God, so that the reflection we see will be able to mirror you, Lord God. Show us where we need improvement in our lives, Lord God, and then give us the courage and the strength to go forth in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for transitioning us from one place to another, Lord God, spiritually, Lord God. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that empowers us, Lord God, to walk this walk, Lord God, to keep our eyes stayed on you, Lord God, to trust in you in and out of season, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus, that we don't be overwhelmed by the things that are going on around us, the commercials that are thrown at us to buy, 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 Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that we don't be set aside by those things. But, Lord God, we can remember the greatest gift that you gave, that we can put that and be a piece of our life to carry the good news to someone else who doesn't know you in the pardon of their sins. Father God, as we take our calls off of mute, we adore you this morning. We just give you adoration and praise, Lord God, as you pour your
spirit in right now.
Thank you for anointing us to walk this walk. And we glorify you, name Jesus. Hallelujah to the Most High God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for loving us so much that you gave your only begotten Son to come to this earth, Lord God, to live, suffer, and die, Lord God. But right now, I don't want to rush to the cross. I want to be saved. Be with you.
Call on your holy name, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God.
Glorify you, Lord God, the Most High God. Thank you, God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord God. Sometimes, Lord God, all we can do is call on the name of our blessed Savior, Lord God.
That we opened our heart, Lord God, that you may come and live with us.
Hallelujah, Lord God. Sometimes, Lord God, all we can do, Lord God, is call upon the name of our Savior, Lord God. Hallelujah. Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for your power, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah for your love, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, for your mercy, Lord God. Hallelujah.
Lord God, know that you took care of him, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Sometimes, Lord God, all we can do is say thank you, Lord God. Sometimes, Lord God, all we can do is just say thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Jesus.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Help us, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to open up our mouths, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to open up our mouths, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord God, to declare it, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to speak it, Lord God. Hallelujah. Help us, Lord God, to
thank
see
you,
it, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Help us, Lord God. Help us. Oh, thank you, Lord God.
Thank
to write the vision, Lord God. Hallelujah. Help us, Lord God. To write the vision, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Help us, Lord God, to see clearly, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord God.
This time of year, to elevate that,
Jesus.
Just to magnify
thank you,
you,
Lord. Direct our path, Lord God.
God, that we may see you.
Jesus, direct our path, Lord God.
Glory,
oh, hallelujah.
You,
help us to stand, Lord God,
hallelujah,
this day, Lord
hallelujah,
God.
Hallelujah,
help
Jesus.
Us to stand, Lord God.
Lord God,
hallelujah.
I adore you and I thank
oh,
you, Lord
Jesus.
God. Hallelujah. Thank
yes,
you,
Lord.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank
help
you, Lord God.
Believe,
hallelujah.
Lord God.
Thank
yes,
you, Lord God. Hallelujah.
Help
thank
us to believe, Lord God.
Hallelujah,
oh, hallelujah.
Lord,
yes, Lord.
God, thank
that
you,
we,
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus.
Thank you, God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Our Holy Savior and
oh,
our Redeemer, Lord God.
That we receive,
Savior of the
Lord
world,
God.
Lord
yes,
God.
Lord.
Thank
that we
you,
receive,
Jesus.
Lord
hallelujah,
God.
Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord God.
Thank
hallelujah.
You, Lord God.
Thank
yes,
you,
Lord.
Jesus.
The renewing
you, Jesus.
Of our
thank
minds,
you,
Lord God. Oh, Jesus.
Yes, Lord God.
The renewing of our
thank
minds,
you,
Lord God. Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord God.
We
hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord God. Oh, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus,
yes, Lord.
For sitting high and looking low. Thank you, God.
Yes, Lord.
For the earth being your, the fullness
yes,
of the earth is yours, Lord
oh,
God.
Hallelujah.
And we all belong to you. Thank you,
my
Lord God.
My soul, Lord God.
That we don't
out.
Forget the meaning
oh,
of Christmas,
you,
Lord,
Lord
God. God.
My
as we
soul
just
cries out
open
to you,
up
Lord
and
God.
Share your name, Lord
oh,
God,
hallelujah.
Throughout this planet, Lord God.
Bless
the world
today, Lord God.
In the
oh, hallelujah.
Wars and rumors of
bless
wars,
today,
Lord
God.
Division in families, Lord God. We continue to pour out Christ over these peace that matters in our
touch
lives
body,
that concern
Lord God.
Us.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus, Jesus,
touch
Jesus.
Touch your body,
thank
Lord
you.
God.
Lord God, thank you, God.
Every
thank
pain,
you, God.
Lord
thank
God.
You,
every ailment, Lord God.
Thank
hallelujah.
You, Jesus. Thank
I lift
Lord.
Her up to you this morning,
hallelujah,
Lord God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I pray
you, thank you Lord God,
hallelujah.
For declaring your truth this
your
morning,
your protection,
Jesus.
Lord God.
Father and finisher of our
your
faith
covering,
this morning,
Lord God. Yes,
thank
Lord.
Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for
yes,
Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for
Jesus,
Jesus, Lord God. Thank you for Jesus. Father
thank
God, as
you,
we
Lord
go
God.
Forth in this day, Lord God, let
yes,
us remember, Lord.
Lord
God, the reason for this season,
Jesus.
Lord God, as Christians, Lord God,
Jesus.
To profess the good news that Jesus Christ,
yes,
our Lord,
Lord
and Savior, is born, that we may be
yes,
redeemed
Lord.
And reconciled to God,
thank
our
you,
Creator,
God.
And we'll be ever so careful, Lord
yes,
God,
Lord.
To acknowledge you in all that we do. So we
Jesus.
Pass this call forward for the next session of our call. Father God, be with us during the conversation in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Good morning once again, everyone. This is Rosalina Rosanna, your hostess. By chance, did we happen to have any new callers that may have joined us after we began this morning? If so, would you like to say good morning and tell us who you are? Okay, then, did we happen to have anyone else from the DV family that joined us after we started and get an opportunity to say good morning? Would you like to do so now?
Our sister, I'm going to get in. I forgot to give some information out. This is Julia. Pastor Hope will be laying his cousin to rest today at 11 o'clock at church, and he will be doing the preaching, so if there's anyone who'd like to come out and support him, they are welcome. I forgot to give that information out. Thank you for letting me come in.
Thank you. Anyone that would like to say good morning?
Good morning,
good morning
Victory family. Hey, good morning, Barbara.
Good morning, Jeff. Good morning, Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else?
Good morning, family. It's Erica. Good morning.
Good morning, Erica.
Only three people? Okay, then. Well, at this time, I will turn the call back over to Dion. Everyone have a good week.
Good morning, Ollie.
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 Good morning, Sweet Mary.
Good morning.
Good morning, me Mary.
Good morning, all.
Anybody else?
Good morning, it's Gail.
Chateau.
Good morning.
Amen. Amen. Well, once again, God bless you this Tuesday morning. Thanks again for everyone who prayed. Diane, truth be told, God bless you. Imani, Beverly, and Miss D, thank you so much for your heartfelt prayers. Absolutely blessed me this morning. And before I do anything, I'm just going to ask a question. Is there anyone who something was triggered in the course of the declaration for you? I'll let you guys speak first. Anybody?
Hi, Dan. This is Deborah Yvonne. Thank you for that wonderful declaration. It was like choice silver to me, at least to my ears. Thank you so much. What really, I don't know, I just have so much to say, but going to try to keep it to a minimum, but the Lord been working with me because I asked the Lord maybe a couple of weeks ago, I said, Lord, why is it some people seem like they have this much and then that much and then some of them seem like they don't? And the Lord been working with me and showing me that we all get the seed. His word is the seed. But some of us, it doesn't stay because we don't nurture it. So I asked the Lord, how do I nurture it? He said, by meditating on it, squeezing out everything you can on the scriptures that I give you. And I've been doing that in my life. And, I mean, if we can all get to that point, it is so wonderful because he starts to give you not only the milk of his word, but the wine and the meat of his word. And it's such a wonderful journey on this Holy Ghost school that we are all on. And our perceptive, the Lord's been showing me, he said, in regards to your perceptive, because life is going to hit all of us. But he's been showing me that in the negative things, you have to do it on purpose to try to extract something good out of it. And if you don't know what to do, ask the Lord to show you what's good and to wait on him to show you. Because it's always, because when we are a child of God, we are in a completely different world. We are part of Christ. We don't see and think the same way that the world does. So we have to renew our mind. We have to, on purpose, look for the good, because this world doesn't show you any good. It shows you nothing but negative. So anyway, I just want to say thank you for your declaration, such wisdom, understanding, and knowledge in it, and keep it up. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. To God be the glory. Anybody else? I won't say anything. Anybody else?
Yes, this is Ollie. I thank you for the excellent declaration. I watched Channel 9, KQED, and they have this underbrain. It is amazing organ. It feels like jelly. We do a lot with our brain, which people don't understand, even with vision coming into the cortex and all the nerves in the brain, a highway in the brain, is very unique. And David Ellman have an excellent book on all the data and everything that you were speaking of about the brain, and it's amazing. Even as babies coming in this world, vision, this is why they touch everything and feel everything, because they learn it then. And they took this man, he was blind for 40 years, and they did the stem cell to his brain, and he was able to see, and he seen his kids for the first time. He couldn't recognize them, and it was hard to see the expressions on their face because the brain just couldn't take it all in, the data. But it was excellent decoration. There's so much about the brain. I enjoyed your decoration.
Amen, Ollie. Thank you so much for sharing. Give me 1 second. Let me find this ring.
Welcome to Verizon Wireless, the wireless customer.
Good morning, Deanna. It's Ms. D.
Not available. Hello? At this time. Please try your call again later. Announcement.
Hello?
I got it, Dion. Just give her 1 second to jump back on, you guys.
Is that Erica?
Yes. Hi,
good morning, Miss Erica. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Can you guys hear me?
We can hear you now.
Okay, so Erica, you muted me some kind of way. Can you find me on the board? Because I can't do 50 things. You muted my house phone. I have two things going on. Misty, go ahead. I can hear you while I find this.
Okay. Okay, I was just telling her, hold on, like she instructed. So I can be obedient this morning. Good morning, my sister. Thank you for that declaration. That speaks a lot. That speaks volumes, you know. I've studied some psychology, but it's a book I really like to read called The Road Less Traveled, and it talks about the brain path, you know, the familiar path. And in correlation to my Bible studies, that renewing of the mind is so strong and pertinent to changing the way I perceive things based on my own life experiences. So I spend a lot of time, even before I respond to stuff, thinking about it and seeing where my thought process is coming from, especially around my emotions and feelings. But that book, The Road Less Traveled, is very good. It's by Terry Bradshaw. I had mentioned it before, but it talks about how to reprogram, not reprogram, but to restructure and put the roadblocks up to not keep traveling those same response paths that I've traveled so long. And it's really helpful for me. Reading the Word helps a lot. It gives me time to sit back and absorb what I'm hearing and think it through before I respond in those old patterns that I've done for a long time. And it's not an easy thing to do. It's challenging, but it's doable. Have a blessed day, everybody.
Amen. Good stuff, Miss D. And that's an absolute matter of fact. The road less traveled. And usually, you know, the old people would say things, somebody's got to take the high road. And you just said, I don't know if you said recondition, but under whatever circumstance, the reality is it is our responsibility to recondition our brain, to recondition our thought process. The human brain itself is comprised of three parts. But there are specifics in the human brain, and that is the forebrain, the midbrain, and the hind brain. Ironically enough, somebody needs to mute their line, please, whoever's talking about what are you cooking. As I became a foster parent, I attended several classes, and the classes really helped me to identify some things about myself that I had not really done an association with. Our perception can lend to creating an atmosphere. However, if we have the presence or the cognizance of mind not to be moved by our emotions, because the majority of the time, and especially with people in general, I won't just say with women, I've never been in a room where two young men who have not yet discovered who they are encounter one another, and it is an immediate resistance or an immediate sense of negative. You know, they look one another up and down. They make an assessment of one another, and in the atmosphere, you feel the charge of challenge. And then I'll ask it on this end: have you ever walked into a room as a woman, well dressed, well groomed, the appearance of being astute or sound in thought or wise or whatever it is that you are, and another woman is equally as beautiful, equally as well-groomed, equally as graceful, immediately turn their nose up, give you the up and down look? The reality is the majority of the time there is, Tanya and I say this all the time, there's like a fear of loss, fear of loss. Position, fear of loss of status, fear of loss of, or maybe you're better than me, or maybe you have a better job than me, or you're married and I'm single, or there is this something in people that has this ill perception of things without even, you know, it makes an unnecessary judgment. Or have you ever experienced having a conversation with someone in a negative light, and then you encounter that person and you have already adopted their perception of that person, so your behavior toward them is a direct reflection of your heart and your thought process as it relates to them? So I know I asked several questions. Anybody want to chime in on that?
I'm headed into the gym, so I'm going to be real brief. This is Miss D. I used to be that woman that walked into a room and immediately would start assessing other people. Before, because of the perception I had of myself, my own perceived persona, as I grew in confidence and awareness of who I am and that rewriting my own story, I rewrote my birth story, my birth narrative, and rewriting it and becoming satisfied with me, and enjoying who I am, those things change, but I see it in others, and, you know, it kind of puts me, has me step back, and I've even confronted people like, why do you look at me from my shoes up rather than meet me eye to eye when I walk into the room? Because someone would do that every time I came into a room, and she might get it when everybody came in, but when I noticed her, I asked her about it. She says this, because I'm a nurse. I'm like, okay. Whatever, but it didn't make a lot of sense, but I remember being that way because I didn't have a lot of confidence in who I was. I didn't feel that I was enough. So as I started to love and embrace who I am in my own power, my own strength, my own beauty, not comparing myself to others, those things changed.
Good stuff. Super good stuff. And notice you said it was her that had the issue. And most of the time, it's not them that has the issue. It's we that have the issue with ourselves because we believe what our circumstance is as opposed to understanding, receiving, and embracing the truth. And the truth is that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That's the truth. And your perception is a direct reflection of your heart. Your heart is a direct reflection of your relationship with God. Anybody else have anything before I share? Because I want to share a scripture so that you can kind of put into play and identify how some perceptions are established. Anybody else? Body? Okay. Hold on 1 second. I'm sorry, I was looking up a specific scripture. So John 4:19 says this, and you'll have to go back and read about three verses above and three verses after, where in the text it says, I perceive you, the woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive you to be a prophet. And so this is New Testament, and ironically, if you do a word search or a word study on perception, it is mentioned in both Old and New Testament. So perception has been around since inception. And so some of the things that transpired in the word, even when the Lord said, you know, on several different occasions, why are you reasoning amongst yourselves? Why are you dealing with your reality when I'm telling you what the truth is? Well, it was predicated on their experience. Past times, there hadn't been a Savior. Past time, there hadn't been grace. Past time, there hadn't been anything other than laws. And so the law said, which was not the truth, the law at that time was their reality. It was their circumstance. But when grace stepped in, it reconciled all that. It changed all of that, and it gave you an opportunity to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It gave you an opportunity to choose a different perception. Now, we say all the time, our experience in life, whatever that may be, is a decision. We decide what we believe. We choose to walk in optimism and hope, or we choose to walk in negativity and failure. And so one of the things I had to unlearn was how I spoke a thing. And so I remember a time where I was focused on leaders. And so our language, and I say this quite often, our language is the thing that is predicated on what we really believe. Because, again, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Usually, and I say this very candidly, people either one of two things. They either love me or they don't like me at all. There's never really a middle ground. 90% of the time, it's because of a perception of either somebody else and sometimes an experience because they don't know my heart, and so they can't really understand how I demonstrate or express who I am. Well, that came over a long span of time. So today, as opposed to being concerned about who does not like me, I am a lovable person. I was beautifully and wonderfully made. I understand that. And so the word says to be a friend, you must first show yourself friendly. And so I understand that everyone's perception is not my truth. I know what the word says about me, so I stand in that. In understanding and or having a positive or a pursuit of a positive perception, you understand that you have the power to walk into a room and absolutely change the atmosphere. Each and every one of us is able to do that. If you spend your entire vocabulary stash on expressing the negative, you will experience more of the same. Well, Dion, how did that woman perceive him to be a prophet? What it speaks to is her relationship with God. It speaks to the innate ability to understand that there's a Godhead, to understand that the hope is not only in positivity, but the hope is in peace. The hope is in love. The hope is in reverence to God. The hope is to establish a new understanding and really being able to identify when greatness has come into your presence. And Sabrina says it like this: my faith file has been established, and so nothing can negate my experience. And while a multiplicity of the experiences that I had aforetime were not in the most positive of light, what I did was take them, assess them, and use my positive perception to change what the reality was, because while it was meant to destroy me, it gave me the ability, number one, not to be judgmental because I've done some things. It empowered me to make decisions based on the truth, not the fact. They're two very different things. Okay, so I could go on and on and on. I want to save some for next teaching time. Anybody else have any interjections or questions or thoughts?
Hey, Dion, it's Marcus. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Dope declaration. Loved it. Absolutely encouraging and inspiring. I want to say that when you were talking about making a choice to be positive, you're talking about how to not focus on the negative. I had such an example of that when I was able to go see a speaker by the name of, I think his name is Nick Vujicic. I think I'm saying his name wrong, but he was born with no arms and no legs, and he chose not to focus on what he did not have, but he focused on what he did have, which was his mouth. And so he goes around and he motivates people by encouraging them to see what's in them.
Hello? That's his name, Marcus.
Yeah. And so, when I saw him, and every time I hear him, I think about, you know, what you said makes me think about that. Like, what's my excuse? How dare I think how bad I have it, no matter what happens to me? If a man with no legs and arms can be positive and be encouraging and travel around the world and be a renowned speaker, then, you know, I need to see what's in me, too. So that's what I wanted to share.
Man, good stuff. Anybody else?
Dion, enjoyed your share this morning. It's so funny, you know, as I was listening to you, I was coming from the gym, and I did a little video, and I was talking about, you know, just speaking well to ourselves and speaking well of ourselves. And how the mornings that I get up and go to the gym, it's not just about me, you know, trying to get in shape and all that. You know, it's just a good medicine for the mind, you know, to really push myself and to set the bar a little higher to reach. And a lot of that has
everything to do with how I speak to myself. And really clearing our space. You know, we have to make sure that we clear our space of things that that are that will cloud up our perception of things. I know how it is to walk in a room and to change an atmosphere and not think that I did anything at all. You know, I know what that's like, or to meet someone who really don't like me, you know, and they don't even know me. I've had those things to happen, but what I have to make sure that I do is put myself in check when the shoe is on the other foot. You know, when someone comes into a room and you see greatness all over them, you know, instead of being jealous, you know, because we all have to make sure that we kill that green thing. And a lot of what I do, just like what you said, compliment people. That's how you kill jealousy. You compliment people. Find something good about people and say it. Open your mouth. And it has everything to do with our heart. Everything to do with our heart. And so when I find myself, you know, and then I have to even ask, why am I jealous? You know, it's something that I need to do. You know, I need to push myself. Rhonda, you need to make a step. You need to do this. You know, and I have to talk to myself like that, and I have to do it often because sometimes we do fall short. You know, we're not always in, you know, we're not always in that wonderfully positive mood or, you know, whatever. But you realize as you get older, it has to be intentional, else it will eat up everything that's good about you. It'll eat at everything that's good about you. Everything Absolutely. That you have, you know, that file, you know, mm-hmm. we assess the things that we don't do well, get it right, and put that baby away, file it away. You ain't got to keep looking at right. it, just do it, you know. So I thank you for your share this morning.
Amen. That's awesome. Thank you, Vonda. I'm going to give you guys these things because you can actually take the time to study in advance and study in advance in such a way that it starts to reveal you to you. One of the things that I think we all have challenges with, unless, again, you're surrounded with people who can kind of, you know, feed into you and pour into you and tell you the truth, even when you try to pretend that the truth is not the truth. You know, we will make excuses for behavior. I'm going to give you this. There is an author. His name is Brian Post, Dr. Brian Post. Dr. Brian Post. And subconsciously, let me give you this. So usually our decisions to perceive a thing are based in fear of some sort. They're either based in fear or they're based in an experience that we've had. And I learned much of this through being a displaced child. There were certain things that would be triggered in my mind by a smell, by a sound, by a gesture. And so, again, be ye transformed by the renewing of our minds, right? So get this. I'm going to give you the attributes of the things in our mind that are literal components of our thought process and our perception portals that lead us and lend to not accepting our truth and not really identifying the source of whatever our facts are. So the amygdala is the part of the brain, and this is a reality. The amygdala is a part of the brain that responds to the perception of danger or fear. The amygdala is a part of the brain that responds to the perception of fear or danger. It is our danger detector. Generally, the response is outburst, fight, flight, or freeze. The hippocampus is the thing that calms the brain. And ironically, whether or not we know it, the hippocampus can actually be stunted in growth because of an experience. It's the thing that counteracts the amygdala
when fear or danger is present, and it gives a signal to the frontal cortex to be calm. However, if you've experienced any level of trauma in your life, your hippocampus does not have the ability to perceive that it's safe. Dion, how does that go together? Because the brain and the heart operate as one when they are joint. Now, ironically, the hippocampus has the ability to recover and begin to grow contingent upon the circumstances. Outside of that, we as people in our surroundings are an external hippocampus, literally. We are the thing that calms other people. We are the voice of reason for many, which means that your perception as a leader, as a teacher, as one that can lend 100 to 1, see, I'm not a 30 or 60 type of girl. I'm 100 to 1 according to what the word says. And so we have to nurture the things in us that we can identify. You know how sometimes you might meet somebody that's 50 years old and they're super immature? It's because their hippocampus is not developed. It hasn't grown to its full maturation rate. And so a lot of times while we take things personal, sometimes in real life, even though we may perceive a certain thing about them, literally sometimes something be wrong with people's brain in real life. Now, again, we didn't have neuroscience in Bible days and Bible times. There may have been a study of, but they hadn't developed the technology to really understand how it functions or how it works. And so I said that to say this. What that tells me is that sometimes people need grace. So now let me connect it spiritually. Sometimes people need grace. A lot of times when you look at somebody, you see an adult, you see a full-grown man or woman, when in reality something happened at 6 that stopped them from growing emotionally, spiritually, and mentally, and it is proven by science that sometimes people, stuff don't work in their head. And the truth is, if your perception is working right, you can be the catalyst to the recovery of that aired way. You can be the change or the transformation necessary for somebody to start to reestablish the ability to mature. Your response and your reaction to things can determine whether or not somebody has the ability to grow, which is why we get you healthy here. That's the goal, to get you healthy and to give you a different outlook. Spirituality is incredible. Spirituality is worth it. And taking the time to really identify who you are spiritually is pertinent. It's relevant, and it's necessary. But we also have to understand that everybody's state is different in accordance to what they've experienced. And that's just the reality. That's just the absolute truth. And so the question you have to ask yourself is, even in your own personal life, what have you experienced that potentially traumatized you so that every perception you have is negative? Where do you know your growth as a person stopped? Because we do. It happens. Anybody got anything?
Girl,
I know there's a lot of information.
You're
killing
the
heart out. Hold on 1 second. Let's get an order real quick. So I hear 3 people.
I was one of them. This is Tim.
Tim, and then I heard Dee Dee, and who else?
Brother Jeff.
And Brother Jeff. So in that order, Tim, Dee Dee, Brother Jeff, go.
Yeah, I'll say that what you said, I agree with that. I believe that I know a little something about that. I think that when we see people and they act a certain way, we are quick to say, oh, so-and-so, they crazy, they tripping, they da-da-da. But I think that after hearing what you said, when we have a better, as Christians, not to ridicule our brothers and sisters, when we have a better understanding of what causes them to act a certain way, based on what you just said, that should bring about a little more sympathy on our part to know, to realize that maybe it's not a thing to make fun of that person or to really, denounce them, because now we have a better understanding of maybe why they act the way they act. On one hand, it's almost like they can't help it to a certain extent, or they haven't had that growth spurt, just a figure of speech, to grow beyond what they have. Because I know a couple of people just like that. I mean, I said something must be wrong with their brain, but not to ridicule, you're just crazy, you're just stupid, you just ain't got no sense. But to really try to understand why this person is this way, why are they always talking negative? And so you've just explained something that really is a part of it, and I believe it. So I think that we can look at people now a little bit differently, and not be so quick to judge their behavior because we want to ridicule, but to have a better understanding that they could very well even be in pain about it, because if people have told them that, they've got to know it. You know what I mean? Just having a better understanding of it, that we can receive
Great.
People differently. Yeah.
And I absolutely, it's a trip. The word says men perish for lack of knowledge. Sometimes we just don't know what we don't know until somebody tells us what we don't know. And one statement can revolutionize your thought process in such a way that you run into purpose. You run into who you were created to be by understanding and identifying a truth that was not present in your thought process, so it did not lend to your decision-making process. Didi, go ahead. I'm shutting up.
I've been trying to just get into a quiet room just to gather my thoughts, because the declaration, like my brother Marcus said, is dope. It's the dopest, and it's so timely, because you're right. We never know what a person is going through, so compassion is so key. And I love wounded people, because I've been so broken. So I think that's why you said it best. We don't know what a person is going through. We don't know what's in somebody's mind. We don't know what they're facing, what they're fighting, what demons are in, what if they're sick, like you said. So to judge a person's actions or what they're doing or how they're reacting is so, it's not even cool. Wow. I'm just grateful that I've gotten to this place at 48 that I love me no matter how toe up I am, because God pulled me up out of the dirt. And I'm grateful for those of you on this victory line that got to see me for who I am and love me in spite of my loud, over-the-top, real ghetto at times self, because that's who I am. I'm not trying to be nobody but who God created. I don't always say the right things. I don't always use the right words, but I truly love people, and I love Jesus, and I'm a loving person. So I think if we would stop trying to see people how we think we should see them, but just see who God created, because we're all different, if that makes any sense. And God, Jesus kicked it with the prostitutes, the tax collectors. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to sit on the front row with the saints. I don't. I want to be out in the alley kicking it with those that don't know Jesus so they can get to know him. That's just how I am. So, Dan, I love you, sis. And I'm glad that I no longer, and that was me too. I would walk in a room full of women, and I don't know why they would look. I mean, maybe because I'm tall or whatever, but I always felt like I was getting that look. I don't care no more. I don't care what nobody, how they look at me, because God created me like this. So if you don't like me, it's okay. It's cool. I'll kick it with y'all, even love on you, because it's not about man's approval. It's God's approval. He created me. He made me who I am. And I'm going to love those that don't even like me, because it's good. I'm going to pray for you. It's good. That's it. Thank you, Dion. I love you.
Hey, man, I love you more. Go ahead, Brother Jeff.
Great declaration and great dialogue. And you made me think about a passage in the AA book where this chronic alcoholic was speaking with a doctor that was working with alcoholics, and he was sharing with the man how the fact that he felt that he was doomed, and the man asked him, "Well, is there anything that could help me?" And he explained to the man that he had seen other alcoholics that was just as bad as he was, and they was able to recover because they experienced a vital spiritual experience that allowed them to recover. And with that information, the man was able to take a deep breath and believe that it was some hope for him. So when you talk about the renewing of the mind, it just made me think of that particular passage in the big book. And you touched on so much stuff, and I know I've had early experiences in my life that wherein strongholds was developed in my mind and in my character, and wherein that even though I was I'm saved and I was still in bondage in my thought process in different areas of my mind,
right,
my life. So when Dee Dee, you know, pointed out to me on one of the declarations that whom the Lord Jesus has set free is free indeed, that helped me so much to the point where it's like I had to make a decision that I wasn't going to no longer live in fear because of that particular
right.
issue. And so I know that there's different levels of the renewing process. You know, it's a process where it's, I got to get a breakthrough. And, you know, so even though I'm saved and Jesus is my Lord and Savior, I could still be in bondage. So with that information, with that knowledge, I'm able to break free and just stand on the word of God. And definitely
right.
it's a process. It's definitely a process.
Right.
One was like when you say perception and our experiences, you know, I grew up and I had Caucasian friends, and I defended those Caucasian friends when I was younger against, you know, my other African-American friends. And I didn't have hatred in my heart. But when I've had a couple different experiences with white police officers, something happened to me. And,
right.
Something happened.
With that, brother, let me say this on that specifically. So perception is also based on exposure. Not just experience, but exposure. Right?
Right.
And with that said, even how you said, Dee Dee made you aware that you were free. And we could go way back to slave days. We can go, the perception lends to behavior. And so a lot of times, Rabonda says it like this, we only see the symptoms or the behaviors of past experience and current perception. Right? So say, for instance, with the slave days, even though slaves had been emancipated, their perception was that they were bound even though they had the ability to leave. And some of them would stay in a bonded state because their perception was it was where they belonged. They had not yet embraced the truth of liberty, which most of the time is our case. We don't understand that we are not bound to sin. We just choose it. We don't understand that we are not bound to negativity. We just choose to operate it. We don't understand that we are wealthy, so we operate as poor or peasant mentality. And so for most people, again, the exposure, they were exposed to being slaves. They were exposed to bondage. They were exposed to, as it said, over history's time, and not to offend, but house niggas and field niggas. And that is not always a declarative statement indicative of brown skin. That's just a mental population, if you please. And so in order to change that, you spend time with free people. In order to change that, you reposition yourself. And again, behavior stems from fear of something. Exposure to something. And so a lot of times the negative that we experience, now you have to learn how not to say stuff like, I'm broke. Now you have to learn how to say stuff like, if he don't do X, Y, and Z, I'm leaving him, if you are a wife or a husband or her. Now you have to learn how to position yourself around people who are going to travel with an alive heart and speak well of things, because we are a culmination of our experiences and our exposure. It's just truth. And so even when it comes to the disciples, as they spent time with Jesus, there were some who believed it, and there were some who didn't. And you saw what their perception was lended to their behavior. And ironically, it was Mary and Mary who went to the tomb and recognized that after the angel of the Lord said to them, Jesus, I hear. And it says she was fearful, so she became afraid, right? And even though she was afraid, there was something inside her that perceived that the angel of the Lord was accurate. And then it provoked in her a response of running to tell that. Jesus is alive, honey. Her perception, because of relationship, because she had spent time with God, she really identified, understood, and knew that potentially this could be accurate information. And so her exposure to his infinite power, her exposure to miracles, lended more to her positive pursuit than it did to her negative pursuit, i.e. the outcome was she experienced his greatness. She experienced the hundredfold, not the 60, not the 30, because of the exposure and the experience. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Absolutely. Hey, yeah. Yeah, this is Lisa. I wanted to share real quick. Excellent observation, as everyone has said. I was thinking about,
Speak up just a little bit.
Is that better?
Kind of better. Go ahead.
Hold on. Something different. Is that okay? Okay. So, absolutely. Thinking about the declaration is like, you know, our minds. It's so incredible how powerful our minds are, and how we have that ability to speak things into existence. And I can't help but to think about these scriptures that help kind of change my mind. Realizing another good book by Joyce Meyer's Battlefield of the Mind. It really is about mindset, and the mindsets that we hold become strongholds. So as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, and then out of the abundance of the heart we speak, and then we shall have whatsoever we say. All that's words. So God is absolutely telling us how important it is to protect our eye gates and our ear gates for what we allow in, because they begin to set up who we become. And it's amazing how you talked about grace, and I was thinking about that too, and God showed me a while ago how when we're having grace on people, we got to look at the simple fact that some people really can't help it because they might be turned over to a reprobate, because after a continual period of disobedience, he can turn us over. People don't talk about that much, but it can happen. So what we look at is the appointed time. Like, yeah, our children may not be saved now, but we believe God's word based on what he said, that our household would be saved, so we wait for that expected time. That's that whole faith thing now. We're not looking at what we see, but what we believe based on what God said. So important how our words can really shape and frame our own realities. And then you're talking about, you know, the brain, being in the medical field, looking at this neuroscience, scientist, and I can't remember her name right now, but she talked about how there are dendrites in our brain that actually look like trees, and negative, hurtful, molestation, rape, whatever it is, those kinds of things scar our brain so deeply that they look like dark trees in our brain, and they grow branches the more we think about them. Therefore, they're setting up strongholds. That's why we can't do anything but think about them. That's how come we are negative all the time, because they set up this stronghold in our mind, and that's what's in the forefront of our brain. Actually, literally, can be proven by science. So how do we replace that? By the word of God, those things that are lovely and pure and just and of a good report. If we're thinking on those things, that's how we lead into that peace. Excellent declaration. I had to get out of my office to come and say that.
Thank you so much for your share, Lisa. That was good stuff. That was super good stuff. Anybody else? I know I didn't pack y'all to death today. I'm sorry. That thing was on me. Anybody? I won't go into a whole nother historic conversation about some of the stuff that will come up in the future. But what I do want to say is, yes,
Sister
sir.
Dion, I will say that since I've been on this prayer call, you know, and I've sat up under some great bishops and some great pastors in my years of going to church. Since I've been on the call participating in Declare Victory, the level of freedom I've experienced and the bondage that I was able to identify, the strongholds, I've experienced freedom. I'm no longer bound in the way I know I'm saved, but I was in bondage. I'm no longer bound in the way that I was. The renewing of my mind has taken place. It's in process. The process of the renewing of my mind is in process, and my level of freedom has grown since I've been participating on this line.
Amen. Super good stuff. That's what it's all about, Brother Jeff, is, you know, I say this, and I'll continue to say this frequently. The truth is, because of some of our exposure and experiences, we truthfully have to unlearn some things. And the only way to do that and impact your life and the lives of others is to constantly do the work. The Word of God says this: ask, seek, and knock. And the knock is the physical action or the physical attribute of the manifestation of your ask. And your desire to seek a thing out. We have a responsibility to become better. We owe it to ourselves, and the more you have revelation and you understand truth, it becomes who you are. In all thy getting, get understanding. You know, that he who lacks wisdom ask, and it shall freely be given unto you. It is our responsibility to ask God to reveal the truth to us in love. And sometimes that truth comes from people, and sometimes that truth will be
uncomfortable. And sometimes that truth will have the power to revolutionize your life if you allow it to do so. And it doesn't happen overnight. And it doesn't happen without intention. It does not happen without deliberate effort and steps to become better. And, you know, and sometimes, even right now, I fail miserably. You know what I'm saying? But I am automatically and instantaneously made aware of where my footing is. And so for me, I had an experience the other week. I went to a funeral, and I was supposed to be at work, right? So that's my first out-of-pocket spot. And as I was supposed to be at work, I am checking my email and checking Facebook, and I was sitting next to a lady I've known many, many years of my life, and she told me to put my phone away. Well, my name is Deon Sharice Jackson, and I'm a flasher. There should be something called Flashers Anonymous. And so my exposure and my experience, the first thing I wanted to say, you don't tell me what to do. That was the first thing I wanted to say. The second thing, wanted to roll my eyes, smack my lips, and say, girl, bye. You don't get out of my business, first of all. I'm a 43 whole years old. However, I changed my perception of it and said, she's just trying to be honorable and noble in the house of worship. And I literally had to interject that to my thought process. Now, was it easy to do? Absolutely not, because I just wanted to roast her. I just wanted to get her together. That was, you know, that was my first thought process. And so, again, it has everything to do with us being honest with ourselves and then making active, avid decisions to change how we perceive a thing so that we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds. It is our responsibility to pursue peace with all men. That's the word. That's not my opinion. That's not just a fact. That is the truth, and the truth shall make them free. When you operate in truth, when you operate in love, chains and bondage begins to fall off very abruptly. Sometimes it'll blow your mind how the responses that you used to have, you don't have no more. I am naturally a fighter, and I can fight with my words. And in past times, I was physical. And so I had to work on actively deciding not to allow my emotions to dictate my behavior. And that was a complete culmination of me changing how I think about a thing. And what makes me feel so animalistic or barbaric that I have to express myself physically? I'm an excellent communicator. And so I had to tell Deon, you are an excellent communicator. And it also, in some form, spoke to the lack of my ability to be able to control something. You know, so, again, our truths are predicated on our experience and our exposure. Is there anybody that has anything before we go, as 8 o'clock is right around the corner? Anybody?
Yeah, Deon, this is Pamela, real quick. Thank you so much for the declaration. Awesome, awesome declaration. It really was making me, as I was listening to all of the comments and the response, as well as your declaration, it made me think of, you know, that the experiment that had been done with the elephant syndrome and how that learned helplessness happens where, you know, the elephant is chained and over a period of time he assumes that he can't be released. He has to stay within a confined area. And, you know, that it goes right back to that learned, that conditioning of your mind. And that's why the scripture talks about renewing your mind. It's something that we need to do constantly. Renew our mind and constantly condition our mind into not believing the lies that have been told to us over the years. And, you know, of that learned helplessness, it's like you are not helpless. You know, there is power. We have, you know, power. And it's about, repeating the scriptures, knowing the word, you know, believing the word that God has put in us, and you know, operating in those truths and not the lies that have been told to you over the years. Thank you so much for the declaration.
Amen. Amen. That was awesome, Cher. Pamela, and the elephant was an excellent example, and you're absolutely right. That is a matter of fact. Anybody else? Amen. So for those that are still online, I want to encourage you to pursue a positive perception of things. Identify the things in you that give you a mind to believe the opposition of what the Word says about you. Study so that you understand what the Word says for your life, and then meditate on that thing. We are what we meditate on. We are what we think about. If all you think about is being broke, I assure you the outcome is broke. If all you think about is how single you are, I assure you you're going to stay single. If, you know, anything you think about, your perception is focused on, the end thereof is whatever you say. You say it, I believe you. So with that said, I love you, but God loves you the absolute mostest. I pray that you go and you grow in love and that you understand that it is your responsibility to be the Jesus that somebody needs to see. And the only way to do that is by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed. God bless you. I love you. Hear you all this evening, TNT at 6 p.m. with Pastor LaVell Jones. Share the banner. Invite someone. Encourage someone today. I guarantee you it might hurt, but I promise it'll help. God bless you guys. Love you. Bye, y'all.
Bye, love you back.